breath of life. Shake the dust from the stars tonight. Light a candle in my name. Together, maybe we could learn to change. The gift of silver becomes a gift of gold. The deepest secrets will unfold. The night is shattered by the rising sun, and all the earth will sing the same song. Breathe on me, breath of love. Wrap the broken pieces of this heart. Find the voices, make them still, and hold the shadows back and drink your fill. I'm tired of fighting words stored in my head, and all the dreams we've lived unsaid. The sun is rising, now it won't be long till all the earth will sing the same song. Breathe on me, breath of life, and shake the dust from the stars tonight. Light a candle, say my name. Together, maybe we could learn to change. Together, maybe we could learn to change.
Om Shanti. Doesn't it feel wonderful to be back home to this sweet, sweetest environment in the world? Maybe second sweet. Bubba has a very sweet heart. And so I would like, it's my privilege today to introduce this session and the facilitator and the presenters of the session. And so, recognizing the subtle signals and having the faith, the trust to mean and progress by those subtle signals. So firstly, just understanding them and recognizing them. And as I was sitting here in meditation, I was remembering my first year in Madhuban, which was 86, and I experienced a subtle signal. It was profound. How long do you think it took me to understand that subtle signal, recognize it? 25 years. And so I would like to introduce the facilitator of the conversation today, Brother Dev, who is from Boston. And Brother Dev is an engineer and he works full time and he minds the center along with Sister Rita full time. He lives at the center. He takes care of the center very well, and he also takes care of Peace Village very well on many of the projects and initiatives we have going. So now I would like to turn it over to Brother Dev, and he'll introduce everyone else.
Om Shanti. Thank you, Dorothy Ben, for the introduction to the topic and to myself. Before I introduce the panelists and ask the questions to them, I would like to share a few thoughts on the topic, context, basically. So as I started thinking about this, discovering the subtle signals and trusting them, how my mind worked on this is that, you know, we all have what Baba calls as divine intellect, the gift of the divine intellect, as soon as we become Baba's children. And that starts working in our day-to-day life. So our decisions and our actions are definitely quite different from what people would do. Then we have everyday Murli in the morning, which actually helps us to understand what to do, what not to do. Very clear, right? Baba shares with us that we follow his directions. Then we have our seniors who we can approach when we have a problem, when we have doubts, going through certain things in life, or we want guidance, or we don't know what to do, but they know what we have to do. So wonderful system in the Yajna that we have our seniors in place to actually help us to move forward. We also have trans messengers, right? Like they bring the signals from Baba time to time and tell us what to do. You know, I really appreciated in these last 2 years, Didi Nirmala actually had, sent few emails saying that, I have asked Sister Mohini to bring some signals from Baba for us to work on. You remember this last during the pandemic times. So we have the gift of these things as well. Now, while having all of these things, at an individual level, for our own self-progress and the times that we're going through and the times to come, we do need to have our own ability to be able to catch the signal, understand the signals, whether it is from Baba, from the drama, from our bodies, in whatever way it could be. That becomes very important for us to really progress, right? So with that context, today we want to understand more on this discovering these subtle signals that are perhaps coming to me and trusting them really, you know, that it is not just my own imagination, actually it is a signal, right? So with that in place, I would like to now introduce our panelists. So we have Sister Gopi to my left here. Sister Gopi has been Baba's wonderful child and instrument for more than 42 years running. She's based in UK and India. I learned that Sister Gopi is the Environmental Health and Safety Officer in Madhavan because I do remember actually two years before the pandemic, actually, a lot of work went into perhaps even going on to really, you know, upgrade the health, hygiene, water purification, all those things in Madhavan. So a lot of credits go to Sister Gopi, who is actually is behind the scenes in all of that. I also know Sister Gopi as the coordinator of the International Youth Forum. And more so also, I remember you as a wonderful translator, Babas Murli's and Dadi's classes. So, wonderful soul with many specialties. And we have Brother Dan, who is originally from New Zealand, but lives in Sydney, Australia. Surrendered brother, living in the center. You know what it means to live in the center. All-rounder, right? So, but Brother Dan was lawyer, attorney, retired, now doing full-time Baba's service in Sydney. And then we have Sister Elizabeth from San Francisco, USA, who runs Anubhuti Retreat Center along with Sister Hema. Sister Elizabeth, I would imagine most of you, if not all of you, have heard her singing. We, in the USA, many of us, call her as the Nightingale of the US in the Brahmin family. Such a wonderful voice she has, such a gift. And she has been in knowledge since 82. 85. Thank you. So as you can see, we have from far west, far east, and the west and east. We have pretty much the whole globe sitting here in front of us to answer, to discover this topic today. So my first question, same question to all of you. And any of you can speak, there is no particular order. Do you have any recent incidents where you felt that you were able to discover a signal in however it came to you? You trusted them and acted upon it. And please feel free to go ahead.
I'll jump on this. Just coming to Madhuban, I was not planning on coming until October. I haven't been since 2019. The body needed some repairs in 2019. I had a surgery, and then COVID happened, and I wasn't interested in coming at this time now. In March. So out of the blue, I was helping Sister Chandru, you know, turn in for the night. And she just turns to me and says, out of the blue, because this has not been a topic we've discussed. And she just says, are you going to Madhuban? And I froze in that moment. And you could say, you know, not that wasn't significant, but I took it as a significant moment. I think that's the idea here of catching that as something significant, because Sister Chandru's yoga power has really become quite avyakt in the last few years. And so I took that as a indication from Baba, and then I validated it. So this is the next step, is to validate that, because, you know, am I being, you know, accurate here? So then I texted Mohini Didi, and she said, you come now, you get your ticket as soon as possible. And I went, okay, I guess it's in the drama.
And how long, she said?
Huh? Oh, she said stay. You mean how long to stay?
Yeah. Meaning it was so clear to you.
Yes, she even said how long to stay, what to do. And I went, okay, it's meant to be. And I'm so grateful. I'm so glad that I came. It's been magical. I'm sure you all feel that, yeah? Aren't you glad you came? You must have had a touching also. Okay.
Thank you, Sister Elizabeth.
When Dev Bhai was asking this question, I was remembering a retreat that I just had the chance to do in the Blue Mountains in Australia. We had a 7-day silence retreat with no mobile phones, no writing, no reading, no eye contact. Just the idea is anything that would pull your intellect away from Baba was removed as an influence over the soul, so that for 7 days my attention is just to focus on remembrance of Baba. And it wasn't so much Baba's signal, but two things I observed was that one, it cleared me out internally and emerged things of value in my heart that brought so much happiness inside. And the other thing was during our yoga bhatis, because the program for that retreat is just 8 hours of yoga per day, seated meditation. There's no other program. Well, Murli is there, of course, but just to have come for bhatis continuously. And I could really feel Baba's sakash and energy come through in waves through the gathering. It's like as we invoke Baba, his, the remembrance that we send to him draws his attention and remembrance back to us. And so that signal, that vibration, Baba's sakash, is just something that it was a really sweet experience because, you know, normally I'm making my effort to remember Baba, but it's a different thing when I can feel how Baba is remembering me and sending me those vibrations.
Great, thank you.
I would say that definitely being in Bharat for an extended period of time encourages you to develop this art of receiving subtle signals. Bharat runs on bhavna, not on buddhi, intellect. And you can make a plan one day and the next day it changes. And so for me, it's an almost daily process of remaining plain inside. And really for a long period of time, just keeping an attitude that's free of any wants, you know. And day to day I just watch how synchronized things become as I remain fully available. Like my plan was to come up last night. And after the meditation last night, it just, something said stay. And as it happened this morning, I got a phone call after Amrit Vela from Sister Vedanti to say, I'm on my way from Ahmedabad. I want to see you before you go up. And she's only here for 24 hours. So, you know, I just feel like these are small, small things. But when in the heart there's a real intention to be useful to Baba and to be available, without any internal agenda, then I feel like drama, Baba, your conscience, your own part moves you in the direction you need to be in. Very, very naturally, without having to think.
Beautiful. While you have the mic with you, I'll continue on to my next question now. You know, in a Laukic world, we also talk about intuition, right? Many people strongly feel something. Do you differentiate intuitions that come to you from perhaps a signal that is coming from Baba? How do you differentiate between intuition and the signal?
Well, I haven't really analyzed it like that. For me, the process is definitely being aware of Baba's directions. And so for me, a signal is when Baba's direction meets time and that meets my conscience. And when the conscience is clean over a long period of time, you end up trusting whatever comes into your mind. There isn't an energy of force in your mind or excessive thinking. There's a sense of very quiet clarity. And I feel that in that environment inside, it's just so clear. This is what has to happen. You just know. And so, you know, it's not like you're having to think on anything. And
I feel for myself, or what I've observed, is that it's so important at this time especially, where when we've had mercy on ourselves for a long period of time. And when I say mercy, it's really just dropping into the reality that Gyan provides, and staying neutral, creating a neutral environment inside with that Gyan. I was very sick recently. My back went out. I had a sinus infection, a chest infection, all at once. And I lost my voice, and I remember the body was in so much discomfort and pain, and I just went so quiet, and there was just the reality of the drama that spoke, that said, this too shall pass. And that was it. You know, that is a reality, that is the act of staying merciful, not generating the thought, oh my God, I'm so sick, I have so much pain, when is this going to finish? Shall I call the doctor? Shall I analyze? No. It's just holding yourself in the reality of the truth of Gyan in this moment now. And I feel when that happens, that's mercy. That's real mercy that allows all my inner resources to be available for me. Whether it's my peace, whether it's the attainments I've got for Baba. And if I don't use that kind of mercy on myself, it's like suppressing what you have from Baba. What you receive from Baba doesn't work for you.
Thank you. And that goes with what you said earlier about having a plain intellect, that kind of whatever is happening, but your intellect is not in it, actually, to really seeing above and beyond it with the virtue of mercy. So, Brother Dan, you said earlier about influence, right? Influence on our intellect from various sources. How do you actually protect yourself from the influences, you know, so that the intellect can actually receive a signal? No, these days there is so much, you know, that goes on. Even it could be in the Brahmin community, right? It could be an influence of somebody else on you or something. How do you make sure that you're not influenced and that you're protected?
I mean, this is a really good question. I'm really good at getting influenced. It's probably one of my specialities, is that I get affected or influenced, I feel, too easily by many things. I mean, it's sort of Baba's wonder that even while living within our cultures, in our different countries, Baba's able to create a different culture and a different community. Just because he teaches us how to remove ourselves from the influence of the old world and come under the influence of Gyan, Yoga, Srimat, and actually our culture changes even while living in a culture, which is quite profound and unique. Normally it's very hard for people's culture to change. Even if they're outside of their culture, they continue to persist with their culture. So that's just how much Baba starts to remove our intellect from external influences. But I feel like my intellect is maybe sometimes like a tongue or a thread that latches out into things. Wherever my focus goes, I catch on to that and I absorb vibrations, and that's how I get influenced. So if my tongue is stuck to Baba, then I'll absorb the energy and influence from Baba and I stay under that influence. But you know, if I just get caught in all the things around me, then I absorb those influences. So I can, you know, I can go to someone else's funeral who I don't even know. If it's a sad funeral, I will cry. Because I can connect to the energy of that place and I'll just upset myself and cry. I don't know that person, why am I crying? But it's just so much I can color myself if that's where my yoga goes. So it's really a question for me of where my yoga is going and what I'm sticking myself into that's going to lead to me getting influenced. And that's why Baba's remembrance is that canopy of protection. because when I'm connected to Baba, he holds me under his energy, his influence, and then even if there is a scene of disturbance around, I'm not drawing those vibrations into myself. I mean, another experience or example is I've been with someone who's had like an accident, and you know, at that time there's like a vibration of trauma if it's a serious accident. And if my intellect goes into that, I will emerge, and I did emerge, my own sense of trauma. It wasn't my accident, it was their accident. It was their karmic account. But my yoga went into it, and I don't know, for maybe 3 or 4 days I would dream about that. I couldn't sleep, it was really stuck in my intellect because that's where my yoga went.
So, do you avoid listening to that? Do you have more yoga? What do you do?
I think through repeated mistakes, I have a lot of care about where I put my intellect, what I connect to. Even I find TV, music, whatever, because behind all of that is an attitude and a vibration of body-conscious people in the Kali-Yugi world. And so all of those things have an energy, and if I'm yogaing on that energy, I'm drawing that into myself, and it will just bring out my body consciousness. And you know, then how is my Amrit Veda the next day? It disturbs my intellect. If I've done enough of it, then I find it hard to connect to Baba because there is something in the way of sort of, I've pulled a sort of a wee cloud over my own head and I can't feel the sun there anymore.
Thank you. If it's okay, I would like to explore more of that same topic, question with you, influence, because I do feel that, you know, sometimes Baba could be trying to communicate something to us, but I might be lost in my own drama that's going on within me. And today, in this day and age, we have a lot of social media and enough things to distract us. How do you protect yourself from all of those things so that you can really feel whatever Baba has to communicate can come through to you?
Well, what I'm doing now for myself is really trusting that everything that is happening for the soul. And even if it's painful, difficult, then I know it's just, I'm finishing a karmic account. If I have resistance, it won't benefit me. If, for example, I think perhaps I would have to say being, you know, ancestor souls. We're all ancestor souls, right? And we care for this world. I certainly do. And I've been on the environment team and social justice advocacy in my life. And we've spent many lifetimes trying to keep it together, holding everything together. We are invested. But at the confluence age, we have to let it fall apart. And so to really trust. And I remember when someone was running for president, I couldn't believe that this person was actually being accepted to run for president. This is some years ago. And I was in Baba's room doing this. Because it just went against my democratic spine, you know, this sort of like social justice, what, this isn't right. And then this new thought came, this was the touching, this is supposed to happen, dear. You know, this is perfect. It's going to wake up not just America, but wake up the world. And then I had a big chuckle. So what I learned from that is we have to discern the difference, and I loved how you said, you know, the distractions, and not to get into that, and I love Gopi Ben having a plain intellect and being merciful. Because we want that bhavna. We want that heart. We don't want to be just this cut it. Okay, I don't exist. From this world can just fall apart. So then I need a karmic footprint of good wishes and pure feelings. And these are the seeds to help through the turbulence that are going to survive the turbulence. And here I am trying to manage and keep everything together, and I'm actually becoming part of dysfunction. I'm actually contributing to the very thing I'm advocating against, right? If you advocate against something, what happens to you? Your face, your features. So then I become caught up in the whole spin. So Baba teaches us to be Swadarshan Chakra Dari, and to sit in the middle and really embody the future. And whatever's happening now, it's supposed to happen. So then there's not that resistance, but then the love and the mercy. I'm investing not in this right now. I'm investing a bridge. I'm creating maybe that image of a bridge for not just me, but for everyone. So when I feel I'm doing a benefit, then there isn't that struggle. There isn't that resistance. And then I think what happens when we try to manage is that the soul is revolting to what is. It's, how can this be happening? But it happens every kalpa. It happens every cycle. So where should I be sitting? Where should I be standing? Where should my thoughts be invested? And of course, it's in that silence, in that stillness. And that silence will reveal what signals are accurate in that moment for me.
Yes, the key is the silence. They're beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, in that silence, and that helps to see what I have to do and what is revealing to me. This is a question for all of you. Sister Gopi, you have spent so much of time with Dadi Janki and Chandraban and Charlie Bhai and others as well. Have you felt something like there is a signal for you? Meaning, you already shared, like Chandraban asked you, are you going to go to Madhuban? Something like that. Like, you know, like, out of the blue, Dadi would say something to you. You know, it's like Baba's signal for you from her. Likewise, perhaps from Charlie Bhai and Chandraban, anything that you would like to share? If you'd like to think about it for a second, you can do so. If you already know, you can share. And while they're thinking about it, I also would like to say that at some point, you will also have an opportunity to ask any question. So if you have it, please make a note of it. And then in probably 15 minutes or so, we'll come to you.
Just to tag in on the previous question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
One thing I've observed in the Dadis that's allowed them to stay fluid in, you know, picking up signals is that they've kept their swabhav very easy natured. That, you know, being easy natured, not loose, but your nature is the part of you that has so many issues. And when your nature is very tight, that's when the reactions happen. But when the nature becomes easy and light, then it's so, it becomes so much easier to pick up subtle signals and move accordingly without the bumpiness of the reaction. And that I've seen consistently in all the Dadis, very, very easy natured, and patient, and the ability to adjust. You know, it just, they won't let themselves get tight about anything. And that quality means that in any given moment in time, they pick up what's needed, either from their own part, either from time, either from Baba. And in terms of, I think my experience with Dadi, a lot of times, you know, she would say something that would be out of the blue, but I didn't have the feeling that it was Baba through her in those moments. More like she's so truthful in her being, and she has such a vision of truth for me, and she can see the elevated, that in that moment the signal is towards be careful where you put your step, be careful what you're doing. You know, I remember many years ago in a service project, things happen. There's always a difference of sanskars. And somebody wrote me a long email. Well, it was maybe 3/4 of a page. And they, you know, outlined all the difficulties they had with me and outlined a few of my weaknesses. And so I remember reading this email. And I thought, I don't know how to answer this, because it didn't feel right to prove yourself, you know, point by point. So I printed it off, and I just found myself walking to Daddy's room. And I gave it to Daddy. I said, Daddy, somebody's written this email for me. And she reads English, so I sat down near her, and she put her glasses on, and she was reading the email. And, you know, I was bracing myself on the floor, preparing myself, saying, okay, Gopi, you've asked Daddy about this, so just prepare yourself for the correction she's about to give you. You have to change this and this. Do you have the stomach to be able to receive a correction? And after about 5 minutes, she just takes her glasses off, and she looks at me and gives me such sweet drishti. And all she says was, if you keep this in your mind, then whatever Baba has given you isn't reaching that soul. So their complaints will continue. And it was like in a second she liberated me from every form of self-consciousness. And what I really appreciated about Dadi was her absoluteness in the vertical relationship. She saw everything through Baba's eyes and lens, and the lens of truth. She could have easily said, well, you know, they're pointing something out, there's a signal for you. She just bypassed all of that and shifted my focus to what mattered. And since that time, I've really paid attention that, am I holding on to anything inside me that's blocking the energy and the attainment that Baba's giving me to reach them? Because people only complain because they're not getting from you what Baba's given you, especially in the Brahmin family. I mean, that's why we've come together, so that we can share those attainments. That's just one of many different examples.
That's really an act of courage, actually, to take the rim, sir, to Dadi.
Well, so, if you want to break your ego and your body consciousness, right, you have to reveal everything as it is.
Great, thank you.
Well, anyway, take this as a signal. Many, many years ago, something happened with Sister Chandru, and I came into this knowledge from a theater background. And theater is all about illusion, and it's basically creating a fake reality. And I got really jaded by the whole thing. I wanted something that was real, and this is what was my incentive in searching for God, searching for truth. I want what's real. And maybe about 10 years into being a BK, I brought a situation to Chandru Ben, and she was just, I think she was sitting on the floor sewing something. And I was sitting on the floor, and she was sitting on the floor, and she was doing whatever. And I told her this situation, and, you know, I feel vulnerable, and I open my heart up to her, and she goes, "Elizabeth, all you have to do is be real." And so I could feel my little thermometer of temper going like this. You know, I could feel this heat rising in me. But then I realized, then the realization, the penny dropped, as the saying goes. And I realized, oh my God, all this time I've been expecting the world to be real. And what I was searching was for me to be real. Now, that moment taught me so much in my Brahman life, that behind these excruciating moments is absolute gold. And it's designed to help me to move forward. And this is where I like this word trust that was put in. Identify the signal and then trust that it's for my benefit.
Thank you.
Yeah, so when you asked that question, the thing I thought of was just the way I've made decisions in my BK life. Because, you know, if I had made the decisions which I thought were good decisions, I would have been in a very different situation from what I'm in now. So when I was in Australia, I had the feeling inside that I just want to surrender my life. My life belongs to God. I don't care what I'll do. And, you know, the past is finished. And I remember when I moved to Australia, I think I just took like about 40 kilos of stuff, and I've not taken anything back from New Zealand, in the sense that I was just like in my head dying alive. And the, you know, instruction from Didi and Charlie after being there for about a year was, why don't you go back and finish your course? And it was like the last thing I wanted to hear. Like, but I want to live in Bubba's house and just be full-time in service. What do you mean, go and finish my education? But that is what I did. And so then I ended up working as a lawyer for some time in Australia. And I was enjoying my work and getting more engrossed and, you know, improving and achieving and pay and reputation and building a social network. And then the next thing was, well, now you can leave your job and come and do this project in India for 6 months. And I was like, I'm not sure I want to do that, because I'm enjoying it now. I've gotten used to it. But I've done that, and I think for a couple of years it took quite a long time to adjust, because the rhythm of full-time Lockett work is its own kind of energy and it gives me something to do. But really it's been the best thing for me. And when I look back, you know, I was just so immature, and I just would have been a pain in the centre if I hadn't gone out to get a job, you know, because having to manage really immature people in the centre who can't take responsibility and are too needy, it's not that easy actually. And so it's much better that I worked sort of through my own sand scars and grew up a little bit in the Lockett environment. So yeah, these are some of the, they weren't subtle signals, they were pretty direct, but I've benefited so much from following them.
Great, and you trusted the both times and you followed them. Great, thank you. So I want to go a little bit what these subtleties of these signals. When we heard the Murali Devi for yesterday, Avek Murali, you know, the revised Murali, Baba said about the call of the devotees or the sorrow, right? Baba said, like, Baba can't bear to see the sorrow and the suffering, and they're kind of calling out. Baba is hearing that. I don't know why you're not hearing that. I don't know if you hear it. You should hear it. Yeah, Baba was kind of talking in these terms. Personally, myself, I don't think I can fully say I hear it. You know, yeah, sometimes, you know, there is that feeling, but not the way Baba describes it, at least to me. So I want to ask you your experience of hearing the call of the devotees, if that is something that, whether through a practice or just by norm, it is coming to you, or through news in any shape or form at least. Do you hear that, like what Baba described it the other day to us? Sister Gopi?
I understand what Baba is saying, and I don't think it's a literal kind of hearing of a call. But, you know, the more inside over the years I've become sensitized to spirituality, spiritual vibration, the more you just feel the interconnectedness, and you actually develop a sense of nobody should be left out. Because, you know, I always feel like I am as strong as the weakest Brahmin in the family. I'm only as strong as the weakest link in the gathering. So I can't think I am, you know, I'm separate. And I think the more inside that sense of being interconnected creates such a level of spiritual sensitivity to the needs of souls. And that's what I find Baba has then used the soul simply through smile, through something to give what's needed at any given moment in time. You know, I was remembering this story by Bharat Dadi, Dadi Nirmal Shanta, Baba's daughter. And it was in Indraprastha on the ground floor, and Rukmini Ben, who is her Brahmani, it was Thursday, and she's a trans messenger, and she just washed her hair. And she was sitting in Indraprastha and combing her hair. And, of course, some of the hairs were falling on the floor. And in those days, there wasn't a glass around Indraprastha. It was open. And Dadi then said to her, be careful where your hair falls, because these little sparrows that come to find food, if your hair gets caught in their feet, then they won't be able to fly. So, I'm not saying that you can artificially think like that. That kind of very deep sensitivity comes when you've made such good friends with God and Dharma. You know, you have a very deep friendship with God, with Baba, and a deep friendship with Dharma. It's one of the things that I marveled in Dadi. Dadi's best friend, what he would always say, is Dharma. Because she's never questioned it, she's never resisted it, she's never gone against it, she's never cut it. And of course, Baba's directions were foremost in Dadi's. And so she was sandwiched between this incredible friendship that just allowed this pure bhavna to flow, and this that made her so aware. You know, she became a force of good wishes. She really did, where even if, you know, we were like 1,000 miles away physically, you didn't need to be in front of her to feel her good wishes. And I always used to say she didn't need a body to serve, because she had sensitized herself so beautifully in this friendship with Baba and Dharma that she was completely connected with the needs at an unlimited level, you know. And that's different to being empathetic. that's an aspect of my swabhava, a body conscious nature, because I know that for myself. Empathy as a body conscious nature makes you vulnerable to the influence of other people's stuff. Whereas when you are spiritually sensitized in that relationship with Baba and Drama, you hear the call, but your vibration gives. You are like a force of good wishes, and those good wishes reach. Whereas when you're over-empathetic, you know, it's a moral virtue, you can start taking on rubbish. And you stop giving. You can't become a force of good wishes. And a protective personality kicks in. So I find that it's so important at this time to really fall into step with Baba's directions and with Drama, friendship with Drama. Because otherwise, you know, our own weak nature and sanskars take us into a story. And this is the time when the stories are finishing. So if I find myself telling myself a story, I'm spinning. It's time for the story to finish.
Thank you. That's beautiful, actually. Would you differentiate, or would you be able to discern your feelings are not coming from the place of empathy, but actually it's just coming because you're an ancestor, like you mentioned earlier, and that you're not taking that sorrow, whatever, but you're just giving those good vibrations?
Yeah.
Or do you feel it's mixed sometimes?
No, this is the switch between soul awareness and body. That when I went back to mercy, mercy is what? It's realizing I am a soul that's taken 84 births. I have the resources of 84 births in me. That's liquid gold. That stuff, you can heal yourself. There's nothing I can do. Yes, and it's accepting Baba's vision of me. I am that master lighthouse and my house. And that mercy has to be sustained over a period of time for yourself. Because then it just keeps you free from having weak thoughts and waste thoughts about yourself. Being careless. Sustaining other feelings, you know? Rubbish inside you. And so when you stay merciful inside, it's easy to stay on par with Drama and Baba. And then benevolence is just, your vibration is benevolent. It just is. There's no thinking of needing to give anything. So what I'm trying to say is it's an aspect of deep self-care to be able to stay available and to be able to stay a donor at an unlimited level.
Thank you. Would you like to respond to this, Sister Elizabeth?
That was awesome. That's my response. Because I will get caught up in being empathetic. And I have been able to discern that it doesn't serve to become the disease of those that are suffering. You're taking on their dis-ease. And if anything, it paralyzes you from serving. But I love this word. I've never used mercy in quite this way. This is really deep. This is very profound to be able to know the difference. And it helps when you find these key words. I don't know how it translates. Because the first one we have to be merciful to is myself. The first one I have to love is myself. The first one that I need to tune into Baba is me. And if I'm reminded of the murlis that Baba gave, those Avyak murlis of the last season that actually bopped out alive, they were all on contentment. Do you remember? They were all about contentment. And then the next one came and it was about contentment. And I was like, okay. For my line to be clear, I have to be content with myself, with my effort, and with drama, with everything that's unfolding and how it's unfolding. It's perfect. So I would just say that this word mercy is very nourishing. I like it because I can see how it feeds blessings. By being merciful, it makes you an instrument that bestows. That's really sweet. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, when you asked that question, it was very sweet that night when Baba asked, you know, like so innocently, why don't you hear it, you know? But I do feel like... the translators are asking if Dan can speak slower. He can. So the one thought is the way that we're interconnected, how Gopi was sharing, that the more we realize the interconnection between all of us, and I quite like the metaphor or the imagery of like a constellation of stars. And we all have different stars that we're closer to, and also, you know, sometimes in Murali Baba has mentioned that there's like a line behind each of us. So we're not individuals by ourselves. We're actually all connected to each other, and we have people who will be connected to us, and that's all of us. So I feel that when Baba wants us to hear the call of the devotees, he is really also referring, it's the sound of the hearts of those people who are the ones we're eternally connected to in the drama. And I remember one experience when Daddyji left the body. I'd woken up for early Amrit Vela. I was in the retreat center near Melbourne. And it was like a gentle echo in the back of my mind of people crying out, Daddy Ma, Daddy Ma. And I could hear it, and it was very tangible. And so I do feel that, I feel Baba literally hears the cries of his children calling out to him, and the daddies will pick up and feel the vibrations of souls around the world, what state they're in, those they're connected to, and he's wanting us to be in that vibrational frequency where we can catch and serve and be connected to that.
Thank you. You know, thank you for sharing that behind each one of us there is a line. Many times I kind of have felt that behind each and every Baba's child, not just one, right? Every Baba's child, there are many souls who would relate to you, because how many of us are there? Like 1 million? Okay, even if it is many more than that, but how many more people are there in the world? Billions of souls. So, you know, we are meant to actually serve, you know, so many people, and there is something that resonates between you and them. And it's nice to, you know, like, it feels to me many times like that, okay, there are people who actually relate to you and you don't need to serve them. And however it is, whether you hear their call or you just, you know, come across in a different way to serve them, but it feels like that every Baba's child is an instrument to serve many souls who actually take something profound, what you have taken from Baba and that they'll take from you. So I want to take a pause here and see if any of you have any questions. Okay, we'll do traffic control and then we'll give the mic to you.
Mukti dhamo tumhe ja. अपने सुकर्मों के बल पर ही सतयुग में तुमको आना है। शिव पिता को अब याद करो, सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है।
धाम में तुम्हें
सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है।
धाम में तुम्हें जाना है।
Does anyone have any question to ask? The mic is coming. Anyone? Or Sister Elizabeth is saying maybe an experience that you would like to share based on what you have heard so far on this topic. Okay, please come. Thank you. Just say your name and then.
Om Shanti. My name is Victoria. I would like just to ask the question about the service, because all of you had the years of service, and I'm just in the beginning. I want to ask how to be with the souls who are attracted by the Baba, who are searching for knowledge, who are searching for this feeling of connection, but how should I say, they prefer to stay, not to go to the transformation of themselves, to follow the Mariad, etc. So visit the public programs, visit some kind of meditations for peace, etc. But stay in their sanskaras, for example, Muslim sanskaras, etc. With all that is. So how to be, how every time, because I felt that Baba always brings this very merciful sight on the soul. He always Whenever you come to Baba, whatever stage you have, he looks at you as with his godly Dalvan eyes. I mean, he looks in your original version. He looks. Baba believes in you that you can arrive. So this, I guess, me as a server, also I should have this belief in each soul who comes. Maybe today this soul wants to stay far or wants to stay without any efforts, but maybe tomorrow, day after tomorrow, she will come and she will be very, very bright. But do you have some kind of experience when souls stayed long years without do any efforts, eating meat and but keeping stay in contact with the center or with the instrument, but after just something happens and they come.
So would the question be more like
your
there are
experience.
People who are in contact with you, they come to programs or whatever.
Yes.
So would the question be, how do you recognize? How to bring them more closer? How do you recognize what would be the, you know, thing for next step for them to bring them closer?
Yes, and maybe you saw experience when they you lived the experience when they really they stay next somewhere next close to you, close to the center, but they can't make this decision. You know, they stay in their religion or they just but they feel this connection. And they don't want to make more efforts.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. If it's unclear, no? Is it clear?
Thank you. Thank you.
I think it might help if we don't think too much about them. That's one thing I think is important. There's quite a few examples. I mean, you know, I've known in my own family someone who's had Brahmin sustenance, who's rejected Brahmin sustenance, and then 7 years later, out of the blue, come back again. I think, you know, and then a completely different incident, but the principle is the same. There's a particular sister who, every time she'd come in, sit down for yoga, she would sleep and snore. And one day somebody said to Daddy, well, why doesn't she just get up and go to sleep? And Daddy said to her, well, as long as she's following the niyam, the principle, a time will come when that bad omen will lift and she'll receive the power to stay awake. So whatever form of connection or contact any soul has, they've chosen that. I think from our side, what's really important is that we don't end up interfering in their life story. We can influence it with gyan. Because what is mercy? It's gyan. And acting on the basis of gyan is so important in the relationship because everybody has their own part and their place in the tree. And you don't know their karmic story. And so whenever their time for transformation will come, it will come. It won't speed up and come by you thinking about them. And so the paradox is to actually stop thinking about them and to stay in a state of keeping yourself available with good wishes. The thought that came to me in meditation just now was, what is the sign of someone who's really heard the call of the devotees? Is that they are consistently a force of good wishes. It's the response that tells you, yes, they've heard the call. And so that's the only thing, you know, we can take care of ourselves, is to keep souls in connection with Baba's family, principles, gyan, and they will find their way, but not to interfere. To influence, but not interfere.
Thank you. You also had a question? Please come. Translation? You want a translation? Okay. 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 All right. Sorry about that. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, please.
Can you clarify what is the difference between interfering and influencing?
Interfering is you excessively perhaps give, you know, overthink about that person. It can be a mental level, maybe at a practical level, or a rescuing attitude, or will they have to save you, bring you close, you know? And it all stems from this feeling, like, especially when you start feeling this, my student, or my, the person is in connection with you, I'm responsible for them. All of that starts to pull you into the wrong territory. But influence is when you have clarity inside you about truth. So you have clarity about knowledge, clarity about gyan, and when someone comes in front of you, you're able to offer that. So you're not getting involved in their story because you're not there to sort out their karmic accounts. You know, I remember many souls would come with certain stories of difficulties, of this happened and that happened, and you know, this happened at the center and that happened at the center and this happened and this story and this is what happened. And I would just, after a few minutes, just ask them one question. At what point in all of this did you let go of the hand of Srimad and Baba's hand that made you be affected by what's going on around you? And so that's what I mean, that's the difference. It's not like I'm listening to their story and trying to give a solution for their story. But I'm actually going back to the crux of the matter, which is, at what point did you let go of your relationship with yourself and Baba? Which is the point of truth. So then when they start figuring out the answer to that question, they will know how to navigate their own karmic account. And that's really important. You know, Daddy was very smart in this, actually. She, if you think about it, age 60, leaving Bharat at a time when service was expanding, coming into the West when there's only 3 students in class, and then being instrumental for the expansion of world service, and so many varieties of cultures, of backgrounds, and nature and sanskars. And you know how straightforward people are in the West. And Daddy, no matter how much somebody got upset, she would always say to them, I'm going to kill you with my good wishes. I'm not going to let you go. Yes, what happens inside when you let someone go? It's like you've cut something, but it's more the keeping that energy in bhavna, pure bhavna, and pure feelings alive, which is the greatest influence.
You know, I was just to add to that, when you're interfering, you're coming under their influence, under their story of influence. And when you're the embodiment of solution, you influence that situation. So you're recognizing what the solution is, but you're embodying it, you're being the solution. If you interfere, again I'm saying, you're caught up in their story. I'm trying to fix it, when really what happens is I get pulled into their vortex of woe and sorrow. But when I'm just, what power do they need? What strength do they need? What virtue do they need? And I embody that. And then I embody the influence that's needed.
And I also feel like it's so important. I remember Daddy, perhaps about 8-10 years ago, she was on this mission. She kept saying, find your weakness and finish it. Because it's the door of the weakness, whatever that is, that allows an influence to come in. And you know, just a few days ago, it became so clear to me, this kind of the impact of how the weakness can deceive us. And I had somebody in, you know, in our interaction who came saying, equality is important for me. I have equal vision for everybody and the same for everybody, and I'm very fair. And then there was something not right about that, that kind of vibration, you know. And I realized that sometimes, you know, when you look at what is real spiritual equality, there's the drishti of soul consciousness for every soul. You know, an attitude of respect for every soul. And an acceptance of every soul's part. So there's no issue of fairness. There's no feeling of any kind of fairness. It's a, you know, what is Satyug? Somebody described it as a respectocracy. You know, it's completely, and yet everybody's part is different. But when it becomes Rajopradhan equality, that sense, then this whole thing, you're motivated by an internal self-interest. Because it serves your advantage to be fair. It puts you over somebody, gives you a position, or sometimes even behind the mask of wanting everything to be equal, you actually don't want somebody to move ahead. It might be jealousy. And you know, sometimes behind the feeling of injustice is rooted in jealousy and ego. Because it comes from a victimized mindset. And whatever your weakness is, it will make you experience yourself to be a victim. And then all kinds of thought processes follow on top of that. And so very deeply having the mercy on the self to finish all weak thoughts and embrace the truthful reality of what Baba's telling me about myself, so that I can rest in the silence of the good wishes that Baba has for me. And as I let myself experience that depth of acceptance, whatever I am, however I am, I belong to Baba, then whatever you are, however you are, you belong.
Okay. Anyone? Yes? So that will be the last question, and I want to come back to you.
So I'd like to ask, just now you spoke about finishing a weakness. So how can we use Baba's subtle signals to, what is the method basically to finish a weakness, and how can the subtle signals from Baba or our connection with Baba help us? For example, indecisiveness, you know, do this or do that. Suppose you are confused about things, whether, so if you are using Baba, does Baba help you decide even the small matters?
You see, with relation to Baba, it's not so subtle. Hey? Baba's got Murli and Srimad. So if there's not enough study and there's not enough understanding of Baba's Srimad, then on what basis are you making decisions? So it's really important to understand that when it comes to Baba, if Baba wanted to give us signals, he would have stayed up there. But it's actual black and white. And that in every Murli, you know, there's a Murli on every aspect of our life and functioning. It's just that we haven't studied it enough. And so, okay, if you haven't, then you ask a senior, what is the Srimad here? That's so important. Don't get lost in your mental kind of thing in that moment. Understand very deeply the track of Srimad. And that when you base your life and your decision making on Srimad, your whole scenario comes to some order. It finds its order. It self-corrects. But if you don't know what Srimad is, and you're sitting there saying, okay, give me a signal, it's not going to work. You need to know what is the Srimad and the thread of truth on the basis of which to make decisions.
Thank you. Would any of you like to add to that? No? That's good. Thank you. Good? Okay. So, is there anything that you would like to share that has not been asked so far? I didn't ask, they didn't ask, or you thought, I want to talk about this, anything like that, that didn't come out and you would like to share? No?
The only thing that perhaps wasn't underlined is that this takes time. It takes time to link up with Baba and to sustain that through all the challenges. And so over a long period of time, Baba says, and I really appreciate when Shivani Ben was here and she just took Baba's Murli and was repeating some of these highlights of remembering Baba 5 minutes an hour. And, you know, just as Sister Gopi was saying, it's all there in black and white. Am I doing that? Simple. And I want a clear line to Baba. Everything else is superfluous, is stuff. And whatever it takes to just maintain that yoga.
I think that's the key, the clear line, plain intellect, and not being influenced, or the way to really actually understand the subtleties or the signal that come to us.